And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain. I'm talking this show goes down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, over to Gadsden. We got parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Hey, listen, folks, before I go too much further, let me just remind you, you heard me talk about it. You know that I'm very, I guess, veteran-friendly, veteran-centric in a lot of my, you know, my thinking, the things we do on the show. It comes out quite often. And I, just like many of you, I heard about these Camp Lejeune water contamination cases. I was like, what is that all about? I mean, it's a veterans thing, because if it's Camp Lejeune, that means a lot of service members and dependents could have been impacted. So I found out that some friends of mine, and they are truly friends of mine, at Riley and Jackson Law Firm, they got like five lawyers working on this. I thought, well, hang on. So I talked to them. I said, fellas, what's the deal? And they said, Phil, there's like 19 different illnesses attributed to a confirmed water contamination that the government knew about over many years. And some of them have been awful illnesses, like could be even deadly. So here's the thing. Riley and Jackson, my friends, that and I, we've worked on cases together. We've worked on issues together. I mean, they're not just right on the law. They're right on politics, too, if you know what I'm saying. Riley and Jackson, they have these lawyers working, and they are literally taking calls on a regular basis, just letting you know for free whether you have a claim. They do not get paid unless they successfully take a claim all the way to fruition for you. It's worth a call. If you are a service member, if you are they're on TDY or permanent duty station or just for training, or you're a dependent of a service member, you might even be a dependent of a service member who's passed away from one of the illnesses, you ought to call. Here's the number, Riley and Jackson, 205-879-5000. That's Riley and Jackson, 205-879-5000. Tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. All right, moving to number two on the triple dipper, China Rising. China Rising. So there's a lot of talk right now about what's happening with China in the on the world stage. Well, it got very weird, very in what the Daily Wire refers to as chilling and Orwellian this past weekend. So on Saturday, I believe it was, maybe Friday, but the report came out on Saturday. So Xi Jinping is the current, you know, dictator. He's the current premier of China. Depending upon, you know, he likes to be called the paramount. He likes to be called the dear leader or the great leader. But Xi is not only in charge, he's making sure the world knows it. Several things have happened in recent years. Xi made sure that the two-term, like they had term limits, just like our president's concerned for at most 2 4-year terms. Well, the Chinese premier could serve for two terms. Not anymore. Xi had that done away with. And it's expected now he is to be approved for his third term and likely be appointed as leader for life. What does that tell you? No one gets appointed leader for life after changing the laws in their own favor unless they have every intent of being a dictator. And then what happened this weekend sent some chills down the spines of people that watch China closely. So, former president of China, Hu Jintao, and Hu is about 80 years old, but he's still considered to be a strong figure in Chinese politics. But he's not in favor, he's not been in favor of the notion of doing away with the two-term rule. Well, as I sat down in every 5 years, the Chinese apparently go to the Great Hall of the People, and they have the massive gathering. They call it the Great Congress, I believe. And they gathered for the five-year Great Party Congress. It's usually highly choreographed. I mean, there's not going to be any surprises, which means that Xi had to have known this was going to happen. President Hu Jintao is seated directly next to, on the left hand, of Xi. And Hu Jintao, two men in suits came up to him, whispered in his ear, and told him he had to leave. And in front of the entire 2,300-member assembly of the Great Congress, Hu Jintao, the most recent, the former past president, was actually taken out of his seat and escorted out. You could tell he did not know why. You could tell he was confused and bothered by it. You could tell because he was literally leaning over trying to say something to Xi, who kept his eyes facing forward and did not even acknowledge what was happening for the most part. I remember watching the night, not the actual night, but the video of the night that Saddam Hussein and his Ba'ath Party took power in Iraq. And in a gathering of the Iraqi parliament, Saddam had his enforcers come in, and they began escorting people from the room while Saddam sat at the front of the room smoking a cigar and looking smug. Some of those people were never heard from again. Now, I don't know for a fact where Hu Jintao is right now. I don't know what's happened to him. For all I know, he's just, you know, sitting at home drinking tea and everything's fine. Then again, maybe it's the last time we see him in an official capacity. It was believed that there was a speech that truthfully Xi did give. He gives it at the opening of the five-year Congress. And he was about to give a speech where he was going to strongly advocate to be elected for a third term, and it was believed that Hu Jintao was opposed to that and might actually speak against it as a bad idea. Well, before any of that could happen, Hu Jintao was led out of the room inexplicably. And the world is on edge watching this right now. Now, here's the other thing. When video of it went viral on Twitter, it was absent from China's heavily censored social media platforms. So they don't want the people of China to know it. Because why? Because there have been mounting protests against Xi's government and the regime putting further and further restrictions on society. All this is happening while Xi is giving a speech. So he's 69 years old. Story on the Daily Wire, dated October 22nd, that'd be Saturday, says when he spoke Saturday at the opening session of the once-every-five-year Congress and signaled a pending move on Taiwan, did a victory lap over Beijing's defeat of Hong Kong's democracy aspirations, and also vowed to defeat COVID, he struck a stridently nationalistic tone, meaning he is now moving into dictator mode. We always knew he was. Don't mistake this. This is China, all right? This is the heavy hand of the Chinese party. Don't think for a second that we've seen some kind of like we had glasnost with the Soviets where it began to kind of lighten up and you actually could see a little bit of free market coming in and, you know, capitalism was starting to, and people were getting rich because they wanted to, not because the state said they could. Well, we're not seeing that. In fact, if anything, we're seeing Chinese society beginning to lock down more and more. And yet, there is unrest in China. So, story here, the next story I've got is on CNN. CNN.com reports that anti-Xi protests are spreading in China and worldwide as the Chinese leader is beginning his third term. And it talks about the fact that, and this is a big deal. Can you imagine? I mean, here we are, we live in a nation where you may not like what's being said, but generally speaking, you're still allowed to say it. You know, when you've got protesters who will show up at, you know, a public speaking event, try to shout down the speaker, or when you've got, you know, folks that want to, you know, hang their banners and, you know, march in the streets and, you know, all the different things, pro or con, whether you like it or not. The fact is, in our nation, the ability to question, the ability to protest, the ability to speak our minds is not just part of who we are, it's a constitutional right. It's a First Amendment privilege. Not in China. Imagine this. One handwritten banner in red paint hanging on a bridge just days before the Chinese Congress in Beijing has been galvanizing to the dissent across the nation. Because it got out. People heard about it. And then another banner on another bridge denouncing Xi as a dictator and a national traitor, calling for his removal. Well, both banners, it says in the story on CNN, were swiftly removed by the police. All mentions of the protest wiped off the Chinese internet. But the short-lived display of political defiance, which is almost unimaginable in Xi's authoritarian surveillance state, has resonated far beyond the Chinese capital, sparking acts of solidarity from Chinese nationals inside China and across the globe. So over the past week, it says, as the party leaders gathered in Beijing's Great Hall of the People to extol Xi and his policies Anti-G slogans for the first time were beginning to pop up around the nation and in hundreds of universities worldwide where Chinese students leave home to go to school. Well, folks, I'm just telling you, that doesn't sound like much. It's amazing what is a big deal in other places, but it doesn't sound like much to us, but it is. The question is, how far will it go? And Xi is now in his third term, something that hasn't happened under the laws of the state. Well, he had the laws changed in his favor, so now he does. Paul from Athens has texted in and said, did he get Clinton? Hugen Tao, did he get Clinton? I don't know, Paul. I hope not. He seemed like a nice dude. I don't know anything about him, but he just you could tell that was not his day. I tell you what, Boomer, let's go ahead and do this. We're about a minute and a half ahead of the usual schedule. Let's take the break right now. We'll do that. We'll come right back. China rising, that's where we are. Well, interesting things are happening, like the fact that China just reshuffled its military leadership and is really leaning towards Taiwan, according to worldwide officials. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Phone lines are open. You want to call in. I'm curious what your thoughts are about China. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Well, China, by the way, if you're in military parlance, all you green suiters out there at Redstone Arsenal, you folks in the defense contracting industry, a lot of you veterans, you know that China is referred to sometimes as a near-peer adversary, meaning that allegedly they are not on par with us, but they are a near-peer adversary. Well, interesting things are happening right now. I mean, we got leadership issues here in the U.S., and I believe that China knows that. I'm not going to be a bit surprised to find out China didn't help that. But the reality is we got leadership issues. I mean, just this past weekend, I don't know if y'all saw that. I mean, I try to make it a point. I'm not mocking, all right? I don't want to be the guy who, you know, calls my least favorite politician's name. I'm not going to be that dude, all right? But nonetheless, it's bothersome when you see an interview with Joe Biden and it appears that he literally began to fall asleep during an interview, and he's the commander-in-chief. The tweet that I saw said, so where are the nuclear codes? I mean, that's what got my attention. I looked at it, and it's legit, y'all. And yet, that's, you know, we got Vice President Kamala Harris. Does that inspire? The debacle in Afghanistan. Well, the same Secretary of Defense, the same Chairman of the Joint Chiefs are in charge now that were in charge then. You got Secretary of State Antony Blinken, who helped oversee leaving 1,000 U.S. citizens in Afghanistan during that pullout. Are we being led right now in a way that inspires confidence? And I would suggest that the answer is no. I mean, look at military recruiting what was the total amount for the Army alone? I think it was 25%. They did not make mission on recruiting. We are woefully incapable right now of meeting mission when it comes to recruiting and retention. And, oh, by the way, then there's the COVID vaccine mandate, which is crushing the National Guard's readiness. You're looking at upwards of 40% of the National Guard could wind up being discharged from service. The National Guard, by the way, is an active reserve component. They're not those guys who, it's long gone are the days of your granddaddy's National Guard where they went to summer camp. In fact, when I became a battalion commander, I said, we will never say summer camp. Do you understand me? Summer camp is what high school kids do with their church group. This is the National Guard. We are defenders of the nation's liberty, and we are the ones who round out our nation's military capacity when the time comes. Well, it's being gutted. At the same time, it's being reported right now, China has reshuffled its military leadership, sending a clear signal on Taiwan focus. Got this off of a website called SCMP.com. It says it's dated this weekend, by the way. The Communist Party unveiled a major reshuffle. Now, this is fascinating to me. This is the kind of thing where when I get a deep dive like this, I look at it and go, wow, that was, wow. The Communist Party unveiled a major reshuffle in China's top military leadership on Sunday, sending a clear signal that the People's Liberation Army will be focused on Taiwan within the next 5 years and beyond. Now, I will tell you that in a separate article on the BBC, Secretary of State Antony Blinken said he believes it could be sooner than that. In fact, U.S. Navy Admiral Michael Gilday said that he believes it could take place as soon as this year. But here's the thing. General He Weidong, who has a wealth of command experience, the article says, in China's eastern military districts, was made the second-ranked vice chairman of the powerful Central Military Commission, along with 72-year-old General Zhang Yuzha. All right, these two men just came into basically what amounts to the two highest positions available, and they did it outside of normal routine. Well, who are they? Why did President Xi Jinping, who just got his, you know, precedent-defying third term as the Chinese party leader and the Chinese government's chairman or premier, why are these two men, why are Zhang and He, why are they suddenly in the positions they are? Well, here's the thing. He is the one who most recently staged the largest ever military exercise around Taiwan. Remember when Nancy Pelosi went? And all of a sudden the Chinese were, I mean, it was something to watch. They did a complete encirclement of the island of Taiwan. They actually practiced cordoning off the island and staging a siege-type operation. They had any number of different defense systems and offensive systems in place to include air defense, and then also launched a number of flyovers and flybys. It was a show of force like never seen before, but it was also, you could tell, it was a staging. It wasn't just a, hey, we're here to scare you because we're bigger than you. No, it was a, here's how we're going to do it. We're not even afraid to show you. They practiced. They got a first-run practice at what it would take to go after Taiwan in a military exercise. Well, the guy who oversaw the whole thing was one of those two men, General He Weidong. He showed what the PL of the People's Liberation Army was, quote, strengthening combat preparations for military struggles against Taiwan. He is seen as the architect of what it takes to attack Taiwan. Then you got the other guy, Zhang. Well, Zhang's promotion to first rank vice chairman of the, what do they call it, the Central Military Commission. That's basically the head of the military department. It says here in the article, it went against the unwritten party norms that previously required Central Committee members to retire before they turned 68. He's actually 72, and he just got the position. The position. Why? Well, he's been instrumental in establishing Xi's military reforms. He's been the guy who has been upping PLA's, the People's Liberation Army's, combat readiness by reforming all of its old Soviet style and putting in its own, basically its own military position, strategies, tactics, techniques, procedures. He's been the architect of the upgrading of the PLA, and He has been the architect of the what would be necessary to attack Taiwan. Those two men are now the top two military leaders in China under a dictator who just changed all the rules and got himself appointed as the new potentially premier for life. I'm telling you, folks, I got more on this. We'll talk about it when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, the local, the state, the national, the international, all the issues. We cover down on it. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Time now, 4:06 p.m. Boomer, it's hour number three, dude. How did we do this, like, so fast?
Hour three, and man, we still got a lot of stuff to cover.
I don't know that we're going to. I mean, can we get to it?
I don't know.
I don't know. We will. We'll do what we can. Hey, listen, I'm in number two of the Triple Dipper. Even having had a phone call in from Jeff Poore, we're still only in number two of the Triple Dipper. But this is some serious business. This is some content right here. And all kidding aside, it is serious business. This is the kind of thing, by the way. This is the kind of thing that could become the world changer, and I don't want to say that lightly. I'm not trying to be the harbinger of doom or in some way to say that this is where we. What you got, man?
I just have a comment. I'm like a caller right now.
Got a caller on line three, Boomer. How you doing today?
Yeah. So about the China thing. What I look at China being is kind of like a pack of wolves. And the reason I look at it that way is they're always lurking around, watching. They're always watching for the weaknesses. Watching for all the little things. I mean, obviously they're everywhere. They're even here in the United States, buying up land, doing all kinds of stuff. They're in the technology, because they make everything over there anyway right now. I mean, so they're always watching, and they're watching for the weaknesses, and they're just kind of lurking. And that's kind of, and I don't like that so much. I don't like wolves so much.
Wolves are bad.
Yeah. So that's kind of what I'm leaning towards this, just listening to, even these comments.
Yeah. I think you're spot on. Wolves are also typically highly intelligent, and I will say this, and I'm trying to figure out if I can find an analogy to do it. I don't know how to do it with wolves, but the truth is, one of the things that people say often is that China plays what they call the long game. Mm. So it's not like they're just lurking for the quick strike.
Right.
They've been preparing. They've been setting the stage for the quick strike. Some people believe they actually orchestrate the events necessary to allow the quick strike to even happen. Mm. And I think that's also disturbing, is the idea that we have an administration right now that plays checkers while China plays chess. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, listen, speaking of which, the Taiwan situation is a big, hairy deal. And our own Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken, was recently speaking. The BBC has an article on this. Came out October the 18th, which would be what? Last Tuesday, I believe. It says Beijing has decided the status quo was no longer acceptable. In Sunday's speech, the opening of the Communist Party Congress in Beijing, President Xi Jinping refused to rule out using force to unify China with Taiwan. Keep in mind, they consider Taiwan to be a breakaway part of their own nation. So when you hear them talk about reunification, what they're saying is, Taiwan, you are always part of us anyway. All we're going to do is bring you back in. Taiwan says, no, we're a separate nation with a separate economy and a separate set of beliefs and a separate level of governance, and we don't want to be a part of you. Now, I will say this. If the day comes that China, when the day comes that China decides to go ahead and act on their ambitions to do the quote-unquote great unification, they're going to have a hard time with the fact that there's a population in Taiwan that does not cotton to the great leaders and the motivations, and they do not want to be reunified, and there will be an island full of people that have had the opportunity for freedom of thought for many years. Now, some said that was going to be the case with Hong Kong. Hong Kong is more of a city-state. Hong Kong has had notions towards democracy, and the central government has been crushing that of late. But going back to my article from the BBC, speaking at an event in Stanford University on Tuesday with the previous Secretary of the State, Secretary Condoleezza Rice, Anthony Blinken, the current Secretary of State, said that if Beijing could not achieve unification by peaceful means, it would use coercion and possibly force. He says that is what is profoundly disrupting the status quo and creating tremendous tension. Blinken added that the U.S. would honor its commitment to Taiwan and support the island's ability to defend itself. In his opening remarks on Sunday, Xi insisted that complete reunification of our country must and will be realized. In other words, he ain't playing. Xi did not say, you know, perhaps one day we would. He said, it will happen. It will be realized. Now, something else that's also happening is domestic policy. Xi Jinping's government is really cracking down, allegedly, on COVID. I mean, the level of restrictions on society, you're talking about whole cities that get shut down. I don't mean like a little bit. I mean like, don't come out of your houses. You can be arrested. And you see videos that occasionally leak out of, you know, folks in chemical suits approaching someone on the street and taking them away. Why? Is COVID that rampant right now? No. I would say, this is Phil talking, but I would say that what you're looking at here is the model for restricting a society at a time when there's unrest brewing and you're going through changes in government and you don't want somebody getting out of the street and having something to say about it. You don't want another Tiananmen Square. You don't want to run the risk that the public will speak. You don't want any more banners hanging from bridges. And so what do? Under the guise of pandemic, you lock this society down. You censor the internet so they can't get the real story. And then you can continue to move forward in your changeover of Chinese society. Well, there's one story I got off the BBC. It was a long one. It was more of a sort of a dissertation on a guy's experiences of living in China. But he talks about the fact that Xi Jinping, he's the first leader since Mao to be chosen for a third term. And in a decade of being in office, it says, Xi has centralized power in his own hands. He's ruthlessly eliminated rivals. He's promoted a cult of personality. He has shut down criticism. And he's had his own personal ideology, which is called the Xi Jinping Thought on Socialism with Chinese Characteristics for a New Era. He's had it enshrined in the Constitution. And he's known, but only half-jokingly, it says, as the chairman of everything. And the truth is, it says, Xi's path to power was almost inevitable. It was defined by his ambition. It goes on to say in the article, though, I will point out, let me get to that page, that in 2008, China's economy was making it richer, faster than any other country in the world. And now, flashing forward, and Xi gave a speech in 2017 where he said, China has stood up, grown rich, become strong, and is moving towards the center stage. That's where they want to be, on the center stage. By the way, those words, those were carefully selected. Those are part of Mao's great speech in 1949 atop what was known as the Gate of Heavenly Peace in Tiananmen Square when he said the Chinese people have stood up. You see, what's happening now is he is patterning himself after Mao. Xi is making himself the modern Mao. He's making himself the lifetime leader. He's making himself the central power, the all authority, the only one with the thought. And he is now even quoting words from Mao to sort of make things reminiscent of the days of the great leader. But the one more thing I will say before I close out this segment, the one more thing I will say on this that we have to watch is the fact that not everything is going great for China. There are some that believe, the BBC has an article that came out about 3 weeks ago, October 5th, five reasons why China's economy is in trouble. Something to watch here is the fact that you have growth figures that show that literally what is often considered to be one of the second largest, maybe the second largest economy in the world, it's contracting. And that it increases their chances of internal recession. At a time when you've got Xi trying to centralize power and lean hard towards Taiwan, you've got their currency, the yuan, is plummeting against the U.S. dollar. And a weak currency spooks their investors. And the last thing you want to see, think about it. What drives wars? Economic situations. And so the last thing we want to see is an economically distressed China with political and military ambitions all at the same time. That's when you feel like you have to do something to wag the dog and get the people's minds off their pocketbooks at the same time looking forward into what we can do to drive the economy. I don't know. How about add Taiwan's economy to it? Lots to play in here, folks. I'm just telling you, China rising. You need to keep your eyes on the ball with this one. This is not going to go away overnight. Boomer, take us to a break, brother. We'll go ahead and do that right now. We'll be right back here in just a minute. Moving into the latter 45 minutes of the show, phone lines are open. You want to call in? 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. And we are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down across the northern part of the state, making it cool to be a conservative. Got some callers on the line. Before I do that, let me just remind you guys, Just Love Coffee Cafe has two locations in our listening area, one on Hughes Road out in Madison going towards City Hall, the other one on South Parkway in Huntsville down near Whole Foods. I'm just telling you, man, if you have not checked it out, you've got to. First of all, is the food great? Oh, yeah, it is. Look at the menu online. It'll blow your socks off. And then is the coffee great? Yeah, award-winning coffees. They got the dry roast they can grind to make you a steaming cup of light roast, medium roast, dark roast coffee, or the treat coffees, my wife calls them, like the cappuccinos, the lattes, the espressos. But here's the thing. One of the things that Just Love Coffee Cafe prides itself on is establishing an environment. Like you walk in, and the place is just kind of cool to be there. They got Wi-Fi you can use. You can hang out. The Madison location, I know for a fact, has things like books and games on the shelf you can pull down and just meet with friends and just hang out. You got to check it out, because if you need a break, if you want a place to just settle down, if you want a Saturday morning with a book and a cup of cappuccino, yeah, these you need to think about it. Just Love Coffee Cafe, two locations, Hughes Road in Madison, South Parkway in Huntsville. And do me a favor, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. All right, I got some callers on the line. Let me jump to those real quick. Line one, JT from Lacey Springs. JT, how you doing?
Oh, quite well. It's a sunny day, pleasant day.
It is. It's nice outside.
Anyway, your comment talking about the Chinese currency falling so much and how it could propagate a war. I remember an acquaintance of mine years ago who was from Germany, and mentioned that prior to World War II, if I recall the experience correct, that he said that the German mark fell so much that it was basically worth more as a table napkin as it was currency.
Wow.
And that, you know, it took a sack full of marks to purchase a loaf of bread. And, I mean, you don't wish stuff like that on no one, hardly, for the most part. But you could be onto something with the follow the yuan versus the dollar. So.
Yeah. Thanks, JT. I appreciate that. Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, literally between the wars, World War One to World War Two, the reason why the Nazis came to party was the idea of resurrecting, you know, a sense of place in the world and having an economy that was vibrant. And they, you know, it went bad from there. Yeah. All right, man. Good call. Appreciate you. Thanks so much. Line two, Marty from Huntsville. Hey, Marty, Phil Williams, how you doing?
Hey, Phil, doing good. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. What you got?
Hey, I was just curious, you know, with China making the point that say they want to be the new superpower, is there going to be a diplomatic way that we can prevent that to happen, or is a war going to be, so to say, inevitable to make that happen? To deter that?
Well, I don't think anything's inevitable, and yes, there are diplomatic ways of part of that is having a strong administration in the United States, which we don't right now. You know, the idea that, you know, don't mess with them because they will take action. You know, we've had a number of sanctions in place that help drive things in a certain direction. I do believe we have to pull back, and I think the Biden administration, I'll give them credit for this, is trying to say, got to get the battery construction and things that we need, like chips and all that, microconductors, over here as opposed to over there. But we've got to become independent of the things they create. We do not want to be in a position of relying upon them. And that's where we are right now on too much of our commerce.
Right. So do you think that eventually we'll be in – right now I think we're kind of diplomatically in a Cold War with them. Do you think it'll ever be like the Cold War with when Russia built up after World War II?
I think that depends on what they do with Taiwan, and do I think so? Yeah, very very much, very likely. China is already moving into proxy positions with other states. They've also been building their fake islands in the South China Sea, which gives them the ability then to claim that their sea lanes are bigger than what they were, that their territorial waters are broader. So they're trying to seize territory and expand their footprint, and it is a bit of detente going on right now. Between us and them. So, hey, man, thanks for the call so much. I appreciate it very much. Who I got next, Boomer? I see I got several callers there, and I got like a minute and a half. So which one called in first? And I'll take that. Which one? Line, what, three? Yeah, line three, Mike from Huntsville. Hey, Mike, how you doing? We got you? Did we lose him?
We're stuck.
We're okay. The phones are stuck? All right, I'll let you work that out, Boomer. I've never had you say, okay, the phones appear to be stuck right now. All right, listen, if our callers can hear us, just understand this. We've got multiple callers on hold, and the phone won't let us pick up the line. So we'll see if we can untap. Which one have I got? Line three? Line three, Mike from Huntsville. Mike, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. Driving home, so I'm a little bit late in the conversation, but did you hear that China bought another port last week?
Bought another what?
Another port, the port of Miami. China bought the port of Miami last week.
When you say bought the port, I mean, you mean like they bought the whole thing, or are you saying they bought like the operational capabilities of it?
I didn't get to do a lot of research on it. I just heard about it on a radio podcast this past weekend. That last week they bought the port of Miami, and that's all I got on it. But I do know that that's five ports that China has in the U.S., either part or some level of control over.
I have not heard that, Mike, and I tell you what, I'll try and check that out. We're in the next break. And also, you know, I remember back when we relinquished the Panama Canal, which was a huge mistake was that the Clinton era, I think? But when we did that, actually it was Carter that gave it away. It took a while for it to actually happen. But we actually saw the Panamanian government almost immediately outsource the operations of the Panama Canal to the Chinese. And so that was big doings. Hey, Mike, thanks for the call. Boomer, I tell you what, I see Kareem holding on the line. Ask him if he can hold on through the break or call right back, because there's no way we're going to break in the next 10 seconds, and I won't be able to give him any time, and I don't want to just cut him off. So ask Kareem if he can hang on through the break or call right back, one or the other. Folks, this is a big, hairy deal. Do not underestimate the impact of what China can have on our U.S. economy, on our U.S. stability, or upon the ability of the U.S. to operate in certain regions of the world. We have to have a strong administration to be able to handle a growing, strong China. And we do not want to just sit idly by and watch from a distance. No, we got to be actively engaged, intentional at all times. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right. We got a caller that held on during the break, so let me honor his time. Kareem from Huntsville. Kareem, how you doing today, brother?
How you doing, Phil?
I'm all right, man. What's going on?
I'm good, you know, and I hate to be this guy.
All right.
What would have, just imagine, like, if Mike Pence would have did what Trump wanted him to do and threw out those 80 million votes. The only way he could have governed from that point on, he would have had to be a dictator. Because no one was going to sit down. 80 million people was not going to sit down and just let him take it, especially after what we know today. After we are sure that we know what the facts is, how he begged for the 11,780 votes. They say it was stolen. The Republicans take care of it. We're taking from there. You know, especially after he already had admitted to other people that he lost, that he would have threw out 80 million votes and take it. There would have been no other way for him to govern but to be a dictator.
Kareem.
And that would have caused a war in the country.
Kareem.
That would have caused a war.
Kareem.
Right in this country.
Kareem.
It would have, am I lying?
Kareem.
Am I lying?
Kareem. I mean, pause, brother. Let me get in there with you. First of all, I had it down here on the board. You called in with a China question. And
yeah, because it's China. It's the same thing.
It's not. You're doing this again, man. It's 4 years ago, dude. First of all, you're focused on something that's not here today. What you want to do is you want to go hypothetical. What if, Phil? What if that thing had happened? What if it would? Well, first of all, China. It did happen. It happened this past week. The Chinese premier declared himself to be outside of the realm of Chinese law. He had it changed in his own favor. Trump did not ask for the law to be changed in his favor. Trump believed that there was a pathway forward to an election being declared something other than what it was. And by the way, the electoral votes have to get certified by Congress, and the right to debate that certification is always present in the law. So you're asking me to go down a road with you that does not bear in reality.
He had a separate lot of electors. He wanted Mike Pence to read that lot. He wanted to throw away everybody else's votes. He wanted him to read that lot. The only way he could have
Are you scared of Trump?
He was to be a dictator.
Are you scared of Trump?
Yeah, I am absolutely scared of him because you read about him. He's Carpathia.
So
he's Carpathia. Beelzebub. He's that person.
Yo, so you're basically saying that Trump is the Antichrist, is what you're saying.
They speak about him in the Bible. This man didn't care about nothing but himself. He did not care if he threw this country.
Okay, so let me ask you this. How do you feel? Obviously, you vote Democrat. So how do you feel about just this past weekend on Meet the Press when your president, my president too, but when your elected president literally fell asleep in the middle of an interview? How do you feel about our position with China, knowing you've got a guy who can't even stay awake during an interview, can't find his way off a stage?
What?
How do you feel about that?
And
by the way, that's
that
current. That's not imaginary.
Yes,
that's current.
Exactly. I understand that Joe Biden is 1,000 years old. There's no way he's going to run for president again. You understand? We understand all of this, but he was absolutely necessary.
No,
Beelzebub out of office.
He wasn't
was absolutely necessary.
So what you see is despite the fact that the economy's in the tank, that we're weak in the eyes of China, that Afghanistan was a debacle, and that the supply chain is still disrupted, and the southern border is ate up like a soup sandwich, and all that being said, all that was necessary just as long as we don't have Trump.
Because one thing Trump would have took from us, and
well,
it's the very most important thing in this country.
What was that?
And it's our vote. It's our vote. Without the vote, we have no trade. We have no country.
Well, how do you feel then
anything
about the people who believe?
Our vote, we have none of that.
All right, so let me ask you this. If that's the case, if that is your mantra, how do you feel about the fact that a vast majority of Republicans feel like the vote was actually stolen? Do you believe it's all right for us to be questioning the election that got your guy, Sleepy Joe Biden, in office?
Listen, I understand that. You can question it, but when the proof is in the pudding, you got to show. You just can't run around and keep saying these things you said 100 times you think it's going to make it true. For what I've seen, they show irrefutable proof that he tried to steal an election, that he knew that he had lost.
Wait, he knew that he had lost. You just ignored my question. You went down the road of why you think Trump was going to try to steal an election. I'm saying there's a lot of people who believe that Biden did steal the election, that he is an elected official who got there because there were so many irregularities, so many abuses of the alleged COVID pandemic, so many abuses of the system.
He was in a pandemic, and the only reason why they feel like that is because he told them to. That's why I say he's a very dangerous man. Very dangerous man. If we ever give this man another chance to get in office, we will no longer exist as the United States of America. We will not be a free country. He does not mind taking the vote from people and putting his plan in place. That is Trump. I don't see how you can't see it, how you can't feel it. You're a man of God. You should know evil when you see it.
I appreciate the fact, at the very least, you and I agree that I try to be a man of God, all right? Jesus is the Lord of my life, and I voted for Trump.
Right, and he only gave him, he said you had 48 months to rule, and back into the pit you go. That's in the Bible, too.
You know, I'm going to be honest with you. Hey, Kareem, we got this thing we say in my family sometimes. We say, I just love you in spite of yourself. That's how I feel about you, brother. I just love you in spite of yourself. What do you think of that?
Okay. I appreciate it. Love you, too.
All right, man.
Hey. But, you know, we in the battle for this country. You're in the battle for the soul.
I agree.
Everything.
I agree. And that's why there's no way in the world I can sit idly by and say Joe Biden or anything like him gets a second term. Got to go, man. Appreciate the call, always.
No second term for Joe Biden. No way, no how.
Well, at least we agree on that, too. Okay, we agree that I try to be a man of God, and we agree that Biden does not deserve a second term. Kareem.
Your phone's really going to blow up now.
Yeah, I know. I know. Stand by. My Kareem aftermath is about to happen. All right, see you, bro. Man, that was hilarious. I will say this. He's a true believer. I when Kareem calls in, I don't doubt that he believes what he's telling me. It's not like it's staged. But yeah. And folks, by the way, we got to reset the phones because we had some kind of a gaffe. So don't call in right away because I guarantee you some folks are. I think I see the lights flashing already, Boomer. There they are. So give us 1 second, folks. We got to reset the modem, and we have the most amazing phone system here. I'm pretty sure we can call Mars if we needed to. You rebooting there, brother?
Yeah, give me one.
All right. Y'all stand by. All y'all dying to respond to Kareem. Just hang on. While he's doing that, I'm going to go to the Louis from Arab texted in and says, "Oh my stars, they live among us." Yes, yes they do. We've got Juan from Newmarket saying, and I don't know what that is, Juan. So you got something on display, but I'm not sure what that is. So I'll have to get back to you. Spell it out for me, brother. I'm sorry, I don't know your acronym. Jim from Madison, do we really want to go to war with China to protect Taiwan? I don't know that answer for a fact, but I do know this. There's a real problem with letting tyrants have their way, Jim. And I'm not an advocate for going to war over Taiwan. But I do know this. You know how much of our economy comes out of Taiwan? One of the reasons why you're seeing such a slowdown right now in the supply chain on things like electronics is because the majority of the semiconductor chips that we use come from Taiwan. And we're not prepared to lose that yet. So you want to see a jam up in our economy? Let Taiwan go away and we can't get semiconductor chips from their factories. We gotta save ourselves from some of that. By the way, the phone lines are back up, 833-687-4448. I know some of y'all are out there just dying to dial that number, 833-68-RIGHT. JT from Lacey Springs says, Kareem, is Rush Limbaugh, what does he say, Rush Limbaugh's EIB on RSR Entertainment and Broadcasting? I'll just take that and run with it, JT, all right. Brian from Huntsville says, sorry, Kareem, if Trump is Beelzebub, then Joe Biden is old scratch and sniff. Tracy from Athens says, oh, bless you, Senator, you get the patience of Job. You know, but I never mind somebody having a differing opinion as long as they're willing to dialogue it through and recognize that at some point I have to get off the phone. I can't just let them keep going. But you know, Kareem is good that way. I don't have a problem with it. Danny from Decatur, he says, I'm trying to see it. I remember reading that Bill Clinton encouraged the government of Panama to turn the canal over to a Chinese company. You're right. That's what I recall too, Danny. The same was stated about the Long Beach shipyards in California being operated by a Chinese company. I need to look into that. That was our caller earlier that said that that literally China is controlling a number of the ports. Brandon from Athens, with regards to Kareem calls, that says, oh, my goodness, about the last caller. Tyler from Huntsville said, what did I miss with Kareem? I'm just tuning in. It was one of the best ones, Tyler. You got to get it on podcast. Speaking of which, folks, podcast was went boom again over the weekend. It is, last I saw, it was like 87,000, almost 400, I think. Have I got a caller on the line? I'm sorry. I'm just sitting here yammering. Let me do that before I go to the break. Is that Allie? Allie from Athens. How are you, my friend?
I am doing well, and I promise I am not doing bait and switch. Okay. I had Jeff Coors answer when you guys were talking about the midterm.
Yeah.
But I didn't have my phone. And so the reason why I can speak to this with confidence is that I was in Georgia and watching some of the political attack ads, and the ones against Herschel Walker were some of the most masterful that I have ever seen in terms of trying to be convincing about him being just a brute. And so one of the things I think that people need to understand, and you know me well enough to know that if Herschel is truly guilty of the kinds of things that were in the attack ads, then I'm saying, brother, he did the crime, he needs to do the time. But what I have learned, especially since the Steele dossier and Russiagate and all of that, is that people will absolutely lie with confidence, thinking that they won't get caught. And if they do get caught, oh, well, the damage is done. And so I would say that it is the nature and the quality of the ads against Herschel Walker that I personally saw in Georgia that account for the 20-point spread.
Oh, wow. So you're saying that I think I'm tracking with you now. You're saying that since the ads are of such depth and quality against him, that clearly indicates how much they're concerned about him. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. And they are using that. I mean, it is what I'm trying to say is they are being effective. That's what I'm trying to say. And if what they're saying is true, then he's got to face it down. But I suspect, I have no proof, I suspect that they're pulling, that they probably paid some pretty high-level Rushgate kind of folk to produce the kinds of ads that they've got against it.
Oh, yeah. I totally agree. I mean, they're pulling out all the stops. There's more money being spent against Herschel Walker in Georgia right now than anywhere else in the nation. It's
amazing. I believe that.
Yeah.
I believe that.
And the thing he's got going for him, aside from being just a good dude, and being the Republican candidate in a generally Republican state, is that he has name ID. There's a lot of folks that still remember him from hero days of being a Georgia football player. So,
yes.
Allie, got to go. The break is upon me. But
all right.
Thank you, my friend. All right, Boomer, move it to the break, brother. We'll do that. We'll come right back. You want to call in? I'll just go ahead and take it. I'm leaving the third dipper on the table, man. Boomer, I didn't make it.
It's all right.
It was worth it. All right, folks, Phil Williams. Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.